Praise the Lord. We're going to sing the chorus, Keep On Walking by Faith, and we're turning to Matthew chapter 24 to begin with this morning. Hallelujah. All right. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Think about it. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Thank God. Praise the Lord. We are in Matthew chapter 24. A lot of us are very familiar with that chapter. We're going to call this message this morning something very simple, but yet very profound when you think about it. It's time to wake up. That's the title. It's time to wake up. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy holy word. We know that without Thee we can do nothing, but that all things are possible to them that believe. Help us now as we study Thy word together. As we hear it, help us to believe it, to act upon it, to live by it. O Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst call us ever closer to Thee. For we know the time is at hand. Thy coming is at hand. And everything around us tells us the very same thing. But most importantly of all, Thy word declares it. So Lord, help us now, I pray. Lead us by Thy Spirit. Keep us in the way everlasting. And fill our hearts with Thy word. For blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Lord Jesus, take complete control in this place. Drive the devil out. Let him have no ability to hinder us at all. But give us victory in the Holy Ghost. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. 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 I think all of us have heard those words sometimes yelled into our ears. It's time to wake up. I remember my mother used to get me up for school sometimes that way. See, I used to like to stay up late at night with my older brothers, you know, and they'd put on these old movies and make a big bowl of popcorn or something. I'd stay up way too late. Then it was time for school, and my mother would say, "It's time to get up." And, "Oh, not yet." You know, I had a younger brother who was such a sound sleeper. You could shake him around, you could bobble his head around and slap his face, and he'd just roll over and keep going, you know, open his eyes for a minute and shut him again, and he was out again, and hard to wake up. And so you keep, time to wake up, time to wake up. You've all heard that, haven't you? At some time in your life. But you know, as startling as it is in a natural sense when you're in a sound sleep to have somebody wake you up, what's more important is the spiritual application of it. Because the world is in a spiritual slumber right now. They're not awake. They're not cognizant of what's going on. Try and talk to them once. Do you ever try to talk to a fence post or a brick wall? Where do you begin? How do you get it across? Do you ever wonder? Where do I start with people? They're in a sleep. Something has to jar them loose. Something has to wake them up. You know, it's very dangerous to be too sound of a sleeper. There's a very tragic story I can tell you. It's a true story. And it goes back to my childhood. I was I think, about 15 or 16 at the time, and I had a number of friends. I had just started playing the guitar. I was playing in a rock band, had a Beatles haircut, hair all over the place, you know, down to here. And when I was young like that, I wore a Ringo Starr Beatles haircut. My hair was so thick they had to thin it with a thinning shears. Now look at it. Judgment. But anyway, whatever it is. But I used to, you know, play in a rock band. See, when I was younger like that, I wore my hair unparted, and then I got into business college, and I started wearing it parted, and now I have to wear it departed. But anyway, aside from all of that, I was about 15, maybe 16 at the time, and I had some good friends, and one was a very, very good guitar player. His name was Doug, and Doug Schaefer was his name, actually, and he had a twin brother, Greg. And they were both, their parents were big masons in town. In fact, their father was an executive in some, I think it was four-wheel drive or Atlas Conveyor Company, one of those. He's a big executive. And his mother was one of these real socialite, you know, a lot of makeup on the face and ball-bearing hips, and she'd walk, you know, socialite-type woman. And she was an Eastern Star. And they were big wheels, you know, in town. Well, anyway, I spent a night one time out with Doug and Greg, and one of those overnight sleepovers where nobody sleeps, you know. And, you know, I met his parents, and they were basically drunk. They were alcoholics. They were drunk much of the time. In fact, I didn't even know they drank until one time I saw them when they were sober. But they were some real alkies. But anyway, Doug was a pretty good friend of mine, and he said, why don't you come on out, and he said, I'll get you in the Desmoulins, which is Junior Masonry. You know, it's named for Jacques Desmoulins of France, the Jacobean lodge, and it's the youth, you know, for boys. And he said, if you want to come in, he said, I'll oppose you. And I said, what do you mean, oppose me? If you want me to come in, what are you going to oppose me for? See, now I know. Of course, John knows what I'm talking about. Because you've got to have a summoner and you've got to have a challenger, and they oppose you, and that's their way of saying, well, we'll bring you through the ritual. Well, anyway, he said, why don't you come out? He said, he said, we're holding seances in the basement of the Masonic Temple. Now, I was in the occult at the time, but seances scared me because I was into the astrology, the palmistry, the fortune telling, all that kind of weird stuff, which is just as much witchcraft as any of it. But there were some things that I wouldn't do. I had tried to make my own Ouija board at one time, and that turned out to be a real frightful disaster. And, of course, a witch will not use a Ouija board. They say, let the Christians use that. They're stupid enough to do it. And so where do you find it? Why does Parker Brothers get away with making 3 million of those a year and sell that many in our Christian nation? I stood over there in Salem, Massachusetts one time, looked across Collins Cove over to Beverly, Massachusetts, where Parker Brothers is, and I thought, what a place. You got witches all over Salem. Over there, they're making Ouija boards, and this is supposed to be a godly nation. Well, we already know the truth about that, don't we? We understand the spiritual influence of Babylon, Egypt, and all the ungodly cultures all rolled together into the United States. And really, that's what we have become. It's a sad thing. But sin is a reality. It's in this world. It's in this country. In fact, this country epitomizes every one of those evil cultures. But anyway, so my friend Doug said, why don't you come on over and join us in a seance? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And otherwise, you know, he said, well, you know, but come on to the Desmoulins. I said, well, the seance thing scared me off. I believe God put a fear into me. I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't know the Lord. But he put a fear into me. Well, anyway, Doug went to the seance, and his brother Greg, I'm sure, was there too. I didn't talk to him, but all these junior masons were there summoning up spirits. And I saw him a week later, and he didn't look the same. I said, what's up with you, Doug? And he said, I don't know. He said, I got into the seance and a spirit started talking. He said, all of a sudden, I saw this The whole room just, it was like a vision that he saw, full of flames. I could hear people screaming and fire was leaping up. And he said, it scared me so much. He said, I don't know if I can go back. I don't know what to do. I didn't know the Lord at the time. I said, well, that's something I don't want anything to do with. And it kept me out of masonry. Well, anyway, within a couple of weeks, I got the news that his parents were on one of their drunks, and they lived in a house out near Cloverleaf Lakes between Clintonville and Shawano. There's a number of Long Lake, Pine Lake, Mud Lake. There's different lakes up there. And they lived out in one of those lakes. Well, anyway, they were on one of their drunks, and they fell asleep in a drunken stupor, and a fire broke out in their house. The boys weren't home, and their parents died in the flames. And the boys found out later, and it was the same vision type thing that he had seen in the basement of the lodge there. And it was such a shock. But the reason that this happened, the reason they died, is they could not wake up. The alcohol had done its work, and they were so out of it, so far gone with the alcohol, that they couldn't bring themselves around and wake up, and they died in the flames. Now, that's a shocking story and a true story. And it really had an impact on me. Of course, those boys then were without parents, and they went off to college and just continued on. I don't know whatever happened to them. I may try to look them up at some point. But in fact, I think I will. But I don't know where they are. But the point is, that is the danger of being unable to come awake. And the fact is, the reality is, that there is an emergency going on right now in our world, and particularly in the United States, and people, for whatever reason, cannot seem to wake up. We are going to look at some things that hopefully will jar some people loose. Now, I'm not only talking about people out there. Sadly, there are people sitting in churches, even fundamentalist churches, and I hope to God that everybody sitting here is awake, but I don't know that for sure. How could I know? But may God help us all to come fully awake and realize that if we have freedom to worship now, we may not have it much longer. And then what will you do? All right? The signs of the times are upon us. It's no joke. It's happening. It's amazing how people can live in the middle of prophecy and not understand that they're in the middle of prophecy. That they're a part of the very fulfillment of it themselves. When Jesus said that these things would come to pass upon the last generation, if we're in the last generation, and I know that we are, then we're in it. This is it. You and I are players in this thing. We are participants. We are caught in this realm of time for a while until it expires, and prophecy will be played out precisely the way the Lord said it would. So here we are, you and I, we're in it. The Lord saw us in it. And He knew what we needed to survive, and He will take us through. But we're going to look at some things today that hopefully will jar people out of sleep, because really, it's an emergency situation, and getting more so all the time. And you'll see that as we go through this, and it seems like it's almost impossible to cover this in the allotted time. You know, I don't understand how some of these churches, really, they get up and they got a little 10 or 15 minute message, and the rest is all just a bunch of hoopla, you know? Nonsense going on. Their attention span for the word is so short, and there's so little of it there, if any. Do you realize there are churches today where they get together and they got the big globe light turning around and the strobes going on and the guitars playing, the drums beating, and they don't get any word? Nothing. No scripture, not one verse read. Is that church? What happened? They are in a lethargy, a spiritual lethargy. They're in a sleep. And you know what's going to happen? Unless something drastic takes place, they're going to die in their sleep. Amen. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple." Isn't that amazing? The temple walked out of the temple. Jesus is the true temple. Amen. He said, "Destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up." That could only be Jesus, not Oral Roberts. That repulsive, you know, how could he possibly have make a statement like that? Oral Roberts said, "I recently bought a tomb near Jerusalem, but I'm only going to need it for 3 days and 3 nights." Wow. You talk about blasphemy of blasphemy. Wow. Or Jerry Falwell coming in late one day saying, "Sorry, I'm late. I was out walking my ducks on the water." These people really think they're God? They're legends in their own mind. Not time, mind. And so the Word of God tells us that they went out and they looked at the temple, the buildings of the temple. They came to show Jesus. "Look, Jesus, isn't this impressive? Look at this impressive temple here. Up on the hill, how beautiful it is." And of course, it was rebuilt. It had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and Herod threw his 2 cents worth in. Well, a little more than 2 cents. He built onto it, and all kinds of things had happened to it. But anyway, it says in verse 2, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." This thing is going to be dismantled stone by stone. There will be not one on top of another. And it happened just like that. Because when it was put to the torch and all the gold and silver melted and ran between the rocks, you can imagine those greedy Roman soldiers with their crowbars prying the rocks apart to get the gold and silver out from between them. Sure, they dismantled it completely. See how precise prophecy is? Well, it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately," nobody else around, saying, "Tell us when." They wanted to know when. You'd like to know when sometimes, wouldn't you? When? You know what? The Lord said, "No man knoweth the day or the hour. Not even the Son, but the Father." Well, then how in the world did Jack Van Impe find out? Well, anyway. So, "When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" What are the answers? Not even Obama has those answers. Boy, is he ever, you know. Remember when he went over to Rome? He and his wife stood there with the Pope. You've probably seen the picture. His wife was all dressed in a black shroud and a black head covering with a black net. And he reached over and shook the Pope's hand. Just think what a blessing that must have been. Oh, I'd use sanitizer first. Shook the Pope's hand, and then the Pope went off right after that and broke his wrist. I'll tell you, Obama is the kiss of death. Everything he touches breaks or falls apart or becomes cursed. Well, look at the economy. Change, we'll give you change, change, change. That's right, we'll take your dollars and you can have the change. He has brought us change. Everything's falling apart. As a matter of fact, I found this morning, about 5 o'clock this morning, I just thought I'd check on the news. And it looks like tomorrow the city of Chicago is shutting down. Yep. City government closed on Monday. Everything except emergency services. No garbage pickup, no street sweeping, Boy, it's going to smell bad. It smells bad around there when it's at its best. But they don't have any money. They're broke. Everything's broke. Everything's busted. Everything's falling apart. What is going on? Well, we know. We understand. We are in a situation, put it this way, we are in a situation right now where the Illuminists, those in the leadership capacity of this, running this entire world, have got just the man for the job running the United States, just the man to destroy it and bring it down. He is a puppet on strings. There's no question about it. This man is absolutely incompetent. He's not that intelligent. He's anointed by the devil, which is the only eloquence that he has. All right? Might as well tell it like it is, right? I'm already on the list. Praise the Lord. Okay. And he can't take criticism at all. And I still think that his beast car is the greatest candidate I know for the crusher. It's a gas hog. With all that armor on there, he wants other people to cash their cars in. I'll tell you what, I'll give him $4,500 for that pile of junk if he'll crush it. I'd love to see it. But anyway. So they ask these questions of Jesus. And now they're privately saying, Lord, tell us. And they're really asking three questions here. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of that coming? And the end of the world. You see, in their minds, they're thinking, if this temple were gone, we couldn't, half the world would have to end because you can't worship God without the temple. So that's what they were thinking. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first thing he told us. Watch out for deception. Deception from men. Are there any deceivers out there? That's almost all we've got. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Notice, it's not the small gatherings of people, of God's people, the small congregations that are the problem. It's the many. They will deceive many, many false Christs, deceiving many, many, many people. And what do? They try to put that back on you. Oh, you got to watch out for those little groups. They're all cults. They're all weirdos. They're all extremists. You know, they got this. It's amazing how they can stage things. You know, every place they're talking about this health care reform. And every place these congressmen go, you find screaming, ranting, violent people opposing this. And that's good. They should oppose it. Every place. And some of them, they had to restrain these people to hold them back, or they would have taken these congressmen and squeezed the cider out of their Adam's apple. People are mad. And so what did they do? Obama staged quite an interesting performance out there in Montana, of all places. Montana, where they lock and load? Huh? Out in Montana, he stages one. It was a town hall meeting, and he hired all these people to come in. And when they were making the speech, they were cheering. Oh, wonderful health plan. Standing ovation. What a phony baloney outfit. And now he has hired, with your tax money, two advertising agencies to push his health plan. And, of course, the immunizations. As a matter of fact, I've got a 10-page report from England. The London Daily Mail, 10 pages. Swine flu jab linked to killer nerve disease. Leaked letter reveals concern of neurologists over 25 deaths in America. Why don't we hear about that over here? You see, they're lining up 13 million people to get this shot right now in the United States. And what it does is it causes an inflammation in the lining around the brain. And it interrupts your central nervous system, which stops your breathing apparatus, and you suffocate. Isn't that a nice little side effect? And these neurologists in Britain are saying, we don't want anything to do with it. The medical people over there will not accept it. Now, isn't that an interesting little thing? 10 pages condemning it from London, and yet we're pushing it and promoting it over here. You know, either they're very ignorant or very evil, and I have no doubt that it's very evil. Nobody could be that ignorant, could they? I mean, really, well, it's a combination of both. Evil breeds ignorance and vice versa. But anyway, if we look at this, Jesus said, watch out for deception, and they're out there deceiving. Come on, folks, when you've got the nation of Britain, the medical experts in Britain condemning our flu shot, saying we're not going to take it. And why didn't we hear about the 25 deaths in America? People are dropping over from this. Their nervous system shut down. It's absolutely condemned over there. They don't want anything to do with it. Yeah, you got to watch out for deception. In every way, shape, and form, they will deceive. And Jesus warned us about that. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And, notice he's going through quite a list here. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Of course, we're a nation of peace. Right? We're always at peace, aren't we? Except for the fact that we're always fighting. But you got to understand something. See, they need you to know that our bullets are different than everybody else's. We have peaceful bullets. We have peaceful rockets. We have peaceful bombs. When we drop them, it generates peace. Pieces of this and pieces of that. Why are we always at war? Somewhere with somebody. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Don't let that bother you so much. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And those things have gone on for quite some time, have they not? For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. You know, there were 324 major earthquakes in the past 30 days. 324 major quakes. Have you read about them? Are they all over the news, front page? 324! And a lot of them were not just over 4 in magnitude, they were over 6. And moving towards 7, and some over 7. And in Tokyo, the world's largest city, Tokyo, in the past 5 days, there were 3 major quakes exceeding magnitude 7. And they are afraid that the entire archipelago of Japan, all the islands, are going to go down. And they're worried about it. When I was at the University of Wisconsin, I used to talk to Dr. McKnight and some of these other geologists, petrologists, seismologists that they have there. And they said that within 20 years, there could very well be no more Japan at all because of that shelf that is moving around in the Pacific Rim. And that was 20 years, that was 11 years ago when they told me that. They said it has to happen within 20 by all calculations. Now they had 3 big ones in a row. Tokyo has been shaken and shaken and shaken a third time. What's going on? Things can happen so fast. But for some reason, we're not hearing about all of these things like we should. Are there those who would always conceal and never reveal? Do men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil? All right, there's only one purpose only for secrecy, to hide evil. That's it. And we have a controlled press. Dr. Joseph Goebbels, you've heard of him, said, think of the press as a keyboard upon which the government plays. Evil genius. In my next newsletter, I've got a number of quotes by him showing that the truth is our greatest enemy. And Hitler one time said, how fortunate we are. How fortunate it is for us, he said, that people don't think. Well, the Lord warned us there would be wars. This is all in the Bible, isn't it? These things are supposed to wake us up. So, he said, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines. We don't hear about it, but one-third of the people in this world go to bed hungry. Meanwhile, our Social Security Administration goes to Phoenix, spends over $700,000 on a weekend conference for their executives, including dancing girls. They said that was to relieve stress. How you like them apples? Oh, anyway. Doesn't surprise you, does it? Okay? Not much does anymore, I don't think. But anyway, pestilences, earthquakes, divers places, all these quakes down by Baja California felt all the way up into San Diego. Buildings shook. We had one over there. There have been numerous severe quakes, tsunami warnings and so forth, but people shrug it off. That's all right. They're pretty busy with the real important things like the Green Bay Packers and, that makes all the difference, doesn't it? All these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus is saying, yeah, this is just the start when you see all that going on. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations. Why do they hate you? For my name's sake. I asked myself one time, I had the painful experience of looking in the mirror. I have to do that every time I shave. I make it fast. But I ask myself a question. Did you ever ask yourself a question? I'm always afraid to do that because I think I'll get the wrong answer. But I ask myself a question. Why do I have so many people hating me? I had a phone call last week where somebody said, your lights are on and I'm coming to get you. And the person was, and we did some tracking on it, works out of Washington, D.C., supposedly has an office in Minnesota, and yet a telephone is from a Tennessee number. Interesting little combination, isn't it? But I ask myself the question, why do people hate me? Here I am, I'm just me. I'm nothing much of anything. But I realize it's the message that I am preaching. It's the fact that by simply declaring the prophecy of God, I'm tromping all over their system. Something they have spent a long time and a lot of money on in building up. And they don't want anybody out there turning the light on this thing and helping other people to think for themselves. They want to do their thinking for you. And so if you've got somebody on the internet that's got 45,000 recorded messages out there and 2.2 million people reading the newsletter and so forth, I suppose that gets in their hair a little bit and they won't stop at anything to try to shut you up. But what they don't understand is that God is in charge. So, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. No wonder the Bible says, know those that labor among you. Over in one of these other communist countries, you know, they had a situation one time where a couple of armed officers came in, broke in on a Christian meeting. They said, all right, anybody here want to deny Jesus Christ? And they saw their rifles, and a bunch of them went out the door, and the rest of them stayed. They laid down their guns, took off their coats, and said, we're Christians too. We just want to make sure we're worshiping with real ones. Huh? Ones that are ready to give their lives, huh? They don't want people who are going to fly out the door. There's a man over in the Philippines that Pastor Amargo, a number of years ago, the government sent out a man, or actually a hit squad, to kill him. They had a death certificate already made out. They make out your death certificate, then they come and get you. They don't wait till you're dead. They give issue the certificate first, then kill you. So they came in, and he stood right in front of them, praising the Lord. They opened fire on him. They shot his shirt full of holes. Bullets went right through him. He just kept preaching. They finally left, and I saw his shirt full of holes. Not one drop of blood spilled. Bullets went right through and punctured the walls. Never hurt him. Shirt full of holes. Riddled full of holes. Sometimes the Lord does things like that. And if not, then you graduate. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound. Oh, is it abounding? Oh. The love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure. Did you hear that word? I could preach a whole message on that one word, endure. Really, we have to ask ourselves sometimes, are we enduring anything? They that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. It's an endurance test. See, we're not here playing around with this. This is not something we dabble in. This is eternal life or eternal death. And we are living in a country in transition right now that is changing. It is already, it's been socialistic since the Roosevelt era. And getting more so all the time. Now it's in a point where it's Marxist socialist, which is the next step toward communism. And then, of course, communism comes after that. Communism. Communism was invented in the Masonic Lodge in St. John's Hall in New York. Two men by the name of Marx and Engels were paid, suborned, paid to write their works. And if you've ever read any of the Communist Manifesto or Das Kapital, you'll know what I'm talking about. And they've had other emissaries since then, such as John Lennon. He spells his name a little different, but he's just as red as the original Lennon. Him and his strawberry fields. It isn't strawberry. He's not. There's no strawberry fields now for him. Remember that? Strawberry Fields Forever? Strawberry Fields was across the from where he lived there, Dakota House in Central Park. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell beneath us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine no possessions. Imagine no religion. What a commie, hardline, commie song, and yet it's been nominated as the anthem for the new world. And it is found in the New Genesis songbook for Christian churches. How far gone are we? The title of the message is, It's Time to Wake Up. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And it's out there, but again, people are in slumberland. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, here's a place that this is something a lot of people get mixed up on. When ye therefore, watch this carefully, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. What's the Lord saying here? You need to open your understanding and think. God wants his people to think. Why does he say this? Why is that in parentheses there? Whoso readeth, let him understand. It means you're going to have to apply a little thinking to understand this. What is the abomination that maketh desolate? Some people think, well, it's a statue will be set up or this or that. They've got all kinds of theories on it. And so I prayed about this and I sought the Lord in this and he showed me what it was. Hold on to your page and let's go over to Mark for just a quick moment and do a little comparison here. In Mark 13, he says in the 14th verse, Mark 13, 14. There, that's easy to remember. You got that one down now, right? But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. Standing where it ought not. Let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. I've heard people say, I'm going back to Matthew now. I've heard people say, well, you know, that perhaps was the Roman flag that they brought into the temple when they desecrated the Romans in 70 AD. Yeah, there's an application there. There is. But speaking for us now, right now, what was the abomination that made Israel desolate? Shall we look? Just turn a page back or so in your Bible from Matthew 24 to Matthew 23. Let's look at this. Jesus said in the 37th verse, Matthew 23, 37, O Jerusalem! Jerusalem! When God says something twice, you better listen. Because this thing is established, cannot be altered. All right? Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. A desolate temple, pronounced by the living temple. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What is that abomination? What stands where it ought not? Well, let me tell you this. A lot of people would never think of this. But you walk in one of these churches, and they're all over the place. They got a big old American flag with gold fringes on it. And they've signed up as 501c3. They have brought Caesar right into the church. They are a government-sanctioned church. They are under government instructions. They must abide by public policy. They cannot preach against queers, weirdos, homosexuals, Al Gore. Notice I put them all together. Obama, abortion, Boy, all of these words that are so related, so synonymous. You understand what I'm saying? How can a church claim to be a church of Jesus Christ, a church of the New Testament, the New Covenant, and then stick an American flag in there, or some other flag in there, or some big old eagle clutching a flag, or thing? You've seen it all, let me tell you. Standing where it ought not. That is an abomination that'll make that church desolate. You bring them in, you sign up with them, you register with them, you register with FEMA, you're all locked in lockstep with those jackbooted thugs out of Washington. Listen, they can run their government. They can have their government. They can do whatever they want. I don't care. They can make all the laws they want. If they're going to kill babies, they're going to kill babies. If they're going to have queers running the show, queers are going to run the show. Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care. But don't bring it in here. It'll be standing where it ought not. You don't bring that wicked, vile, filthy system, those evil spirits, into the church of God. This is separate. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." They don't mix. That's the abomination that'll make any church desolate. Right there. When you invite the world system in, you have invited in desolation. When you have displaced the Word of God with all the devices of the earth, with the systems of man, then you become a desolation and an abomination that would make you desolate. Israel kept stoning the prophets, rejecting the prophets, reject, reject, reject the Word. They kept rejecting the Word. They had religion, didn't they? Oh, did they have religion? They had a temple. They had ceremony. They had feast days. They had everything. All under the protection and sanctioning and approval of their state. State religion. The cross through the crown. Did you ever see that symbol? The cross and the crown. I know the York Rite uses that. The cross through the crown. The unification of church and state. There you go. So this is standing where it ought not. This is an abomination that would make any church desolate. That's why churches are so desolate. You walk in and there's that big old flag up there with the gold fringes, which means it's a maritime flag, which means you're under martial law. No question. Standing where it ought not. I walk in these churches, I feel like walking up there and saying, "Hey, that thing's standing where it ought not." You can be outside there in the world, but don't bring it in where the people of God are worshiping. Because we're not worshiping that thing, and that thing has nothing to do with our worship. Does this sound un-American? No. I'm just telling you the truth. This man was born there. I'm a citizen. I'm a citizen of heaven. You know, I got to give a lot of credit to this major, U.S. Army Reserve major. And he was ordered to go to Afghanistan. And he said, "I want to go to Afghanistan. I will go to Afghanistan. But first, prove to me that the commander-in-chief is a legitimate commander-in-chief. If I'm going to lay my life on the line, I've got to know that this guy sitting in the White House is really eligible to be there. And if you can prove that to me, I'll go. I'm ready to go." And he got a lawyer, kind of a sharp female lawyer. I think women make good lawyers. They can scratch real hard. You know? But anyway, that's all right, isn't it? Don't take offense at that. But anyway, he got this lawyer, and he was making his point. He didn't know what would happen. And so the Department of the Army contacted his attorney, and they said, "We're rescinding his orders." Then the Department of the Army told this attorney, the Department of the Army said, "We have no definite evidence that the commander-in-chief was born in the United States. Why wasn't that on the front page? Can you guess why? WorldNet Daily carried it, but that should have been AP, Reuters, all the big ones should have had that front page. The Army declares they have no evidence that their commander-in-chief belongs there. And so he doesn't have to go. Orders to rescind. They didn't want to take him on because they knew they couldn't win. Beware lest any man, what? Deceive you. Can a whole nation be deceived at once? Well, there are people in it that know better. But basically, he got there, and that's right where the Illuminists, that he's the kind of guy they want. You see? Okay, they got rid of him then? Yep. From his job? Yeah. Yeah, he gave him trouble. Okay, well, that's about almost to be expected, isn't it? They got to get rid of that guy. Somebody who'll stand up against them. You see what we're up against here? But we need to get in this battle and come fully awake. And the only way you can do that is to come spiritually awake. This is not some political cause. That enters in. But we need to be right and ready with God always. God will use you. And you can put to shame the enemy with truth. Yeah, it'll be on the scaffold, but you can do it. Now, Jesus said that the gospel of this kingdom would be preached throughout the whole world, and then would the end come? Then he talked about the abomination that maketh desolate. And of course, it did happen back there too. What I said was, yeah, the Romans came in with their thing and put their flag in the temple. Didn't belong there, did it? But now we see this carried forward to our day. Similitudes of prophecy. So he said, when you see that, what did he say? Get out of there. What does that tell me? If they were supposed to head for the hills of Judea back then, people need to get out of these churches now. Get out of there. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. What's he saying? There's an emergency here. Verse 16, he said, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Get up to the higher ground. Get closer to God. Neither let him which is in the field return back and take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Now he's talking primarily back there with the fleeing from Jerusalem. But we got to understand there are similitudes of prophecy. God will watch over us, but you got to do it his way. And we are to not participate. We are not to cooperate, even if we must interact. We're not to cooperate with this ugly system. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now there he specifically is talking about Jerusalem and the people of God leaving there and going to the hills of Judea, where they would be safe for a time. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. I believe God, we look at it and say, when is the Lord coming? When will he return? Hey, he's coming back sooner than you think. He's actually shortening the time. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Of course, that big Southern Baptist guy, Johnny Hunt, mega church, said everybody's elect. That's what he said. Everybody's elect. Everybody. That's everybody in the whorehouse. That's everybody in the tavern. Everybody in the nightclub. That's everybody's elect. That's a Baptist for you. I'll get in trouble yet. Why not go for it? There's nothing dumber than a Baptist. Come on. Who could believe such a thing? Then if any man shall say unto you. Now watch, I'm going to get letters from Baptists. Just watch. You know what I'm going to tell them? Get out of that crummy church and come to God. Repent! Those people believe you don't have to do anything to be saved, and after you're saved, you can't do anything to be lost. So you're wrong on both ends and in the middle. My Bible says Judas by transgression fell. You understand that? Judas by transgression fell. There goes their whole doctrine. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, that's all the way across, folks, as far as you can see, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, with those words, he's saying, everybody's going to know it at the same time. You're not going to need anybody to tell you. He's over in the Oval Office there. He's having lunch with Barack. Huh? I wouldn't have any time doubting that one. You know, the signs are so plentiful. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. In other words, there's a Hebrew idiom for you as well. Where there's fire, there's smoke. When you see these things, you know there's trouble. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Folks, there's tribulation going on right now. The Assyrian International News Service reported that the Euphrates River is now officially dried up. It was down to a trickle. It's about dried up now. Now we understand the spiritual implication of that, that it's the natural boundary between east and west, but God literally dried it up. The Tigris is almost gone. These rivers date back to the time of the Garden of Eden. Now, in addition to that, the London Daily Mail reported that because the rivers have dried up, swarms of poisonous snakes have moved from their natural habitat into residential areas and are terrorizing people, biting them and their animals, and people are fleeing like thieves from the area. They're just running. Yeah, they don't know the Lord. Yeah. See, that's what's going on over there. And these people don't know the Lord. And the world is in such a state and such a condition that these things can happen. But the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 16 that the great river Euphrates would be dried up. I mean, it comes right out and tells you that, doesn't it? And it's never happened before. So what can you say? Hey, that looks like fulfillment to me. There's a whole lot more to come. Kings of the East have risen up. Let me tell you something. I know I'm speaking to people that know their Bibles quite well. I'd have an awful time if I was standing in a Lutheran church right now. But I know that you know your Bibles quite well. I picked up the paper the other day and I was reading, and it said that Red China is buying up all the copper in the world. Every trace of copper they can find, they're buying it up. Why? Because, now I got this article out of the London Telegraph, I believe it was. So you got to go to England to get news about the United States or other places. You don't get it over here. But they're buying up all this copper, and it said in these exact words that the new standard for money in the new world order. When you start reading things like that, you got to stand up and take notice. Is apparently going to be copper. And I thought, now isn't that interesting? Because we had the gold standard for years. And then we had the silver standard until 64. And now, we're going to copper? And then I got thinking about Daniel chapter 2 with Nebuchadnezzar's statue of the big beast. Remember the dream that he had? And Daniel described the beast, said the head is gold. The shoulders and upper part of the body are silver. Then comes the brass, which is actually bronzed copper, if you check it out. Now, this is the exact sequence of standards for the economies of the world. First gold, then silver, then copper. It playing out just like the Lord said it would. Then comes the iron fist of the beast, but the feet are half iron and half clay. The strength of iron is in the feet, but they're half clay, so there's no soundness in it. And there is a rock cut without hands that's going to come smashing down against it. And the whole thing, from gold on down, is going to collapse. The Bible told us all this in advance. Pick up the paper and read about the copper standard. Hey, I saw that in Daniel 2. It's been around for a couple thousand years. Shouldn't surprise me. What surprises me is the accuracy and precision of the Word of God. It amazes me. Well, let's look at a few other things here. He talked about after the tribulation of those days, immediately after, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Now it's too late, isn't it? Now comes the mourning. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In the remaining 7 minutes, let's look at a few more of these signs. Again, the title, It's Time to Wake Up. Let's go back for a quick moment to Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of my people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and that at that time thy people shall be delivered. Isn't that great news? Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Okay? So if you're written in the book, you'll be delivered. So quit worrying. No time to worry. The Lord doesn't want us to get into fear and worry. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, there's two things to look at here. You can look at the good and the bad of this. The good part is that since the gospel was given, God expects us to run everywhere with it and increase the knowledge of the people through the preaching. But on the other flip side of it, we see a world that is constantly increasing in knowledge And people that cannot sit still. Boy, I've noticed with our mailing list, people are always moving. It's hard to keep up with them. When you've got a list that big, it's constant. We have to pay every time somebody moves, the post office charges us for it. But that's how we're so aware of it. But people are constantly moving around. We got people flying across the country, one end to the other, every day, back and forth. People in constant motion. We got airplanes, we got Amtrak, we got automobiles flying this way, flying that way. Great rates of speed, cover vast distances in a few hours. And knowledge being increased? Look at the internet. You can find anything on the internet. And most of it's rotten to the core, but you can find anything on the internet. You can ask it any question. It'll answer you. Give you a whole bunch of answers. And you pick the one you like. A world wide web. A net. Jesus said the kingdom of God, the last parable he told, would be like a net that gathereth all kinds. Satan has a net out there. Thank God we can invade it with the gospel and preach through it and let it backfire on him. Praise the Lord, we're doing that. We're on there right now. I'm sure he doesn't like us invading his territory, but we're on there. But talk about knowledge being increased. Almost everybody has an electronic brain right in their house. One that they can talk to and listen to and draw close to and cuddle up to. And they love their little machine. Oh, they love that little thing, that little screen there that they lock their eyes and line up their forehead and then click on their www thing, you know, and www666, remember your Hebrew alphabet? Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hav, Vav, Sig, Yin, Het, Tet, Yud, Kaf, Lamed, and so forth. But the sixth letter is the W equivalent, 666, World Wide Web. And the right hand is on the mouse, the forehead is in the screen, and they're locked into this thing. And they love that so much. They're so much in love with that thing, so infatuated by it, that they leave cheese in front of their mouse at night. It's just a whole life. This thing has to be managed. So, yes, knowledge is increased. Very quickly, if you go over to Nahum chapter 2, the Lord gave us another sign here. God sent an enemy against his own people because they had forsaken him to such a great extent and so repeatedly. And so it says in the second verse of Nahum chapter 2, Nahum 2:2, "For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob." Compare this with the United States right now, because there's a similitude of prophecy here. A similitude. All right? "For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob." You know what gets me is some of these people say, "Oh, that stupid Israel, they kept turning away from God. What has this nation done?" I don't think there's any finger pointing warranted. All right? "For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out." Boy, have we got an emptier in the White House right now. He's emptying us out. How about all these executives from AIG and all the big financial, Merrill Lynch and all these guys? Talk about emptiers. They empty the retirement funds, they empty everything they can get their hands on. The Lord said it would happen, and marred the vine their vine branches, the vines that yield forth the increase. They've marred those. Have they hurt our industry at all? Oh, by the way, Obama has pledged at the G8 and the G20 summits that we will eliminate fossil fuels to the extent of 80%, which means to fulfill that, we would literally have to shut down. The experts have figured this out. We have to shut down all industry and all electrical generating with the exception of some nuclear and a little bit of hydroelectric. Not enough to go around by any means. It literally means shutting down the entire country. And he's willing to do it. To save the planet. Do you see the gimmick? Instead of der Vaterland, oh, we do what we can for the fatherland. We're true to the fatherland. This is Mother Earth. That's the gimmick. Al Gore recently made the statement that this war we're having to preserve the planet is like fighting the Nazis. It's that kind of fight. We must do it. And the fact is, there is no global warming. The Earth has cooled down to where it was 30 years ago. All the computer models say it's cooling off. And even in Al Gore's home state of Tennessee, this past July 21st, it was 54 degrees, a record low set back when Rutherford B. Hayes was president. Oh, it's craziness out there. I've got only minutes here left. But notice in verse 3, it says, the shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. And the fir trees shall be terribly shaken. Automobiles? The chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. Get out at night and look. Just look at the freeway. Watch those headlights flying by. You can see a fulfillment of prophecy here. But notice something too. The shield of his mighty men is made red. Red shield. In German, Rothschild. We say Rothschild. Is the Lord telling us something in prophecy here? That there is a conspiracy? Is he giving us these other signs? You know, I wish I had time to finish this, but we're not going to get it on the recording if I do. And I don't know what the Lord will do. I may have to finish it next week. But I'm going to close with this, simply because we're out of time. I'm going to close with this. If we don't come awake soon, meaning all the people in this country, there's going to be a sleep of death. People will die in their sleep. One good thing has happened, and that is the provision that they had for the end-of-life counseling in this health care plan. A number of senators have now risen up. When I saw this, I prayed, Lord, rebuke this thing. Now a number of senators have risen up and they said, that thing is not going through. We demand that be taken out. And they decided they would take that out. Not that they couldn't slip it back in, but it shows you what pressure can do. And that pressure needs to be applied. And now Obama got up and made a speech with tears in his eyes. And he said, I think of my own grandmother. I would never pull the plug on grandma. Yes. And all the while in his heart, he's thinking, we better off these old people because they're useless eaters. They take up a lot of money and they don't provide anything for their state. Remember, the word hypocrite means actor in Greek. But he said, I would never have a death panel to decide who lives and who dies. I would never do that. Well, I'll tell you, you know, anybody who, you know, and then the tears are supposed to seal the deal. See? Folks, Jesus said, don't let any man deceive you. They're going to try. But if I could emphasize this morning the necessity that we all come fully awake. We can't afford to even be drowsy. We've got to wake up now. Learn to call upon the Lord. It's not like it was, and it's going to get worse. We've got to be on fire for God. We've got to really have what God has for us. Not a portion, a double portion. Let's rise up to the challenge and give it all we've got, and God will be with us, but we must come fully awake. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, that we have this opportunity to be shaken by Thy Word, and I pray that we are shaken by it. O Lord, help us now, I pray, and lift us up, O God, into the reality that Thou art with us and that Thou hast a work for us to do. O Lord Jesus, fill us with Thy Spirit, with Thy power, for the time is at hand. And O God, let Thy people truly seek Thee and call upon Thee. Let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let us not give our hearts over to anything but unto Thee only. Now, Lord, lead us by Thy Spirit. Quicken us and make us alive. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Let the devil be driven out. Keep us in the way everlasting, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing a chorus.